Many have grown up in a religious environment. Many have even grown up hearing about Jesus and believing facts about him. Yet someone can believe that Jesus really lived, really died, and really rose again, yet still be missing the most crucial part. The hinge is this: do we believe that Jesus died for our personal sins? Do we personally trust him for forgiveness? What we trust about God's gift of grace is crucial for our relationship with him. Today on Delight in the Word, Pastor Paul Tauches concludes a two-part message from the book of Romans titled, The Gift of God's Grace. In it, he continues to explain truths we must believe about God's gift of righteousness. If the gospel is to be pure and effective in our lives, understanding God's grace is crucial. We will hear about our need, God's gift, and the central role Jesus plays in all of it. We invite you to join us now with an open Bible and a ready heart as we together delight in the Word.
The purpose of the law was not to empower us to become righteous. The purpose of the law was to show us how desperately unrighteous we are and how desperate we are for a Savior. But this righteousness of God has been manifested. It's been displayed in the cross of Jesus Christ. And therefore, he says in verse 22, it is then those who believe in Jesus Christ then receive the righteousness of God through faith. So that is the first truth that you must believe. You must believe that God's righteousness has been displayed at the cross. Secondly, you must believe God's righteousness is lacking in every person, especially you. Now, why do I say it that way? Well, it's easy for us to look at the rest of the world. It's easy for us to look at serial killers. It's easier for us to look at mass murderers. It's easy for us to look at people who will hold themselves up on the 30th floor of a hotel and barrage the crowd with bullets and say and think that we are more righteous than they are. That we would never do such a thing as that. And yet at the very base line, core comparison, our hearts are evil, are they not? And lying within our wicked hearts is the potential to do the greatest evil that we can imagine. So it's easy for us to look at other people and say, oh yeah, I get it. They fall short of the glory of God, obviously. They're unrighteous, they're wicked, they're evil. But you know what? That's not going to save you. What's going to save you is when you look within your own heart and realize that verse 23 is actually talking about you, not just the whole world. See, that was the turning point for me at the age of 19, because I had grown up in works religion and I knew that Jesus was the Savior of the world. But I never knew he was my Savior. But verse 23 is talking about me, and it's talking about you. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no distinction, verse 22 says. At the baseline, There's no difference. That's why it's often been said that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Everybody stands equally guilty. Everybody stands in equal need of the righteousness of God. See, by man's standard, there's a difference, right? By our standard, there's a difference. We look at people and we compare them on the righteousness scale. But on from God's viewpoint, all guilty, all condemned, all falling short of his original plan for them to bring him glory. All are guilty. When some of our members go down to the prisons and lead Bible studies and lead worship services, they meet people who are there for a variety of reasons, a difference in crimes, but they're all there because they've all been deemed what? Guilty. And that's the way it is with us. That's the way it is with mankind. Variety of levels of sin in the sense of the outworking of sin, but all guilty before God. Because all have sinned. Did you know that the Bible says that if you have disobeyed one part of God's law, you've disobeyed all of it? That's what James says. So even if you have gotten this far in life, in never sinning except telling one white lie. Why they're called white, I don't know. You're guilty of every single law. You're guilty of breaking every single law. That's what the Bible says of us. See, God created us for His glory, but our sin diminishes His glory. And so even our best efforts fall miserably short. And we, in the words of the previous verses, we suppress the truth of God. And that's why our merit, we can never earn heaven by our merit. See, merit is the quality of being good or being worthy enough to receive something. And every works religion on the face of the planet teaches at some level that merit can be earned through good works and through religion. And therefore, we can bring ourselves to the place where we are worthy to receive salvation from God. In the days of the Protestant Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church taught that sinners are saved based upon their own merit. That is, through the Roman Catholic system, one is made righteous, made worthy of being saved. That's what I grew up believing. I was trained to believe that. But God's word is clear. We have all fallen short of God's righteous standard. It is impossible for us to merit God's righteousness or our salvation. Therefore, the righteousness that you and I need must come from somewhere else. It must come from outside of ourselves, not from within ourselves. Get it? You must believe that you lack God's righteousness. Thirdly, you must believe God's righteousness is a gift of grace. See, now here's where grace comes in. Here is in verse 24, we are justified by His grace as a what? Gift. So central to the doctrine of justification is the five-letter word grace. Because every works religion teaches that righteousness comes through some element of human effort, human merit. But only the Bible teaches that the righteousness that you and I need comes to us purely by grace. Separate from ourselves, separate from our works, separate from our supposed righteousness. The definition of the word grace and its application to justification is what differentiates true Christianity from every other religion on the planet. See, religion says that justification is the process of being made righteous. You're made righteous by following the laws of the church. You're made righteous through the sacraments. You're made righteous through your good works. And it's a process. And when you get to the end, you hope you've done enough good to outweigh the bad. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that justification isn't a process. It says it's an act at a moment in time. Not whereby we are made righteous, but we are declared righteous by God based upon the righteousness of someone else being given to us as a credit to our account. And if you don't have that credit of righteousness on your spiritual account in the bank of heaven, you won't get to heaven. Does that make sense? That's what the Bible is saying. We have to have God's righteousness in order for us to spend eternity with Him. Well, how are we going to get it? We're going to get it, according to verse 24, by His grace as a gift. So to be justified as a gift before God means to be justified without a cause. There's no cause in the sinner. All the cause is Jesus Christ. All the cause is Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Turn with me just to the right in your Bible to chapter 5. You'll see this very clearly. Verses 15, 16, 17. I want you to notice the repetition of the phrase, the free gift. And then I want you to notice how the free gift is defined or identified. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass. What Paul's doing here, he's comparing Adam to Jesus, Jesus to Adam. Okay? Adam brought sin into the world. Jesus brings something else into the world. The free gift is not like the trespass, that is Adam's trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the rest of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, Adam, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of what? Righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. This is why I said before, it is not enough for us to be forgiven. We must also be righteous. It is not enough for God to simply zero out our account and eliminate the debt of our sin, so there's a zero balance. In addition to the zero balance, there must be the addition of a overwhelmingly perfect, superior righteousness credited to us, which belongs to God. And it's Jesus' righteousness that's given to us, not because we deserve it, but because of His grace. It's a gift. That's what he's saying. It's a grace. It's a gift. It's a grace gift that comes through the redemption that is in Christ, whom God put forward, Paul says, as a propitiation or satisfaction of God's righteousness. That's what the word means. It means to satisfy the justice of God by means of a payment. Justification is through the redemption that is found in Christ. And that's why we sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's why we as sinners can have hope of eternal life. Because when we come to Jesus Christ by faith, we are given His perfect righteousness as a gift. We stand then before God, declared righteous. And that is the difference for which the reformers fought and died. Official Roman Catholic doctrine has not changed. According to the Roman Catholic Catechism, salvation is by works which merit the infusion of grace through the Church, only the Roman Catholic Church. See the difference? This is why the reformers put their lives on the line. They said, no, grace comes from God as a gift when you trust Christ. The Church said, salvation, righteousness, comes to you through the process of obedience to the Church. The Church then gives you the grace. And when you die, if you are a good Catholic, or in the language of the official teaching, if you die in God's good grace, and you still have to go to purgatory, where the rest of your sins, the ones that Jesus' death wasn't enough to take care of, will be purged. That's why it's called purgatory. Will be purged from you. You have two different gospels. And I bring that to your attention because we can't forget. We cannot forget the truth that countless believers throughout church history have fought for and died for. Because those two gospels are the difference between heaven and hell. They really are. They're the difference between eternal life and eternal death. You must believe that this is purely a gift by God's grace. And then fourthly, you must believe God's righteousness is found only in Jesus Christ. And this really summarizes all that we've been saying. Christ was put forward by God, verse 25, as a propitiation, a satisfaction of the justice and righteousness of God by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness. I already explained that. Because in His divine forbearance, He passed over former sins. That is, He passed over the sins before Christ. Why? Because those who believed were looking forward to the sacrifice that would be paid for them. And He did this to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. Jesus Christ was given to us not only as a demonstration of the love of God, but as a demonstration of the righteousness of God. So perhaps this is really new stuff to you today. And you're wondering to yourself, okay, how do I receive this righteousness? You're thinking to yourself, okay, if I am unrighteous and God will only accept me if I am righteous, and if religion cannot save me, then what must I do? And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. This morning, come to God with the empty hands of faith to receive the gift of His grace, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, credited to your account purely as a gift of God's grace. And at that very moment, your slate will not only be wiped clean of all your sin, you will be given a righteous standing before God, whereby you are now accepted by God through Christ. Well, perhaps you're here this morning and you're thinking, yeah, I get that. I'm already saved. I understand my salvation is based solely on the merit of Christ and not my own. And I've known that for a long time. I've known that since I was a child. So what? Well, let me give you some takeaways this morning too. Because there are takeaways as a believer. Remember, this book was written to believers. And even we as believers, we have the tendency to naturally fall away from grace. We forget grace, don't we? And when we forget grace, we have the tendency to fall prey to subtle and tricky ways of thinking. And we begin to live by the law, not by grace. We begin to measure our acceptance by God through our own spiritual performance. Am I the only one in the room who struggles with this? If I am, then just please listen to me and just say, okay, I know how to pray for Paul now. I forget about grace. And I forget that I am 100% already accepted by God in Christ. And I think there's more I have to do. That no matter how obedient I am, that God is somehow still a little bit displeased with me. Do you ever struggle with that? We forget grace. And then we can become very discouraged when we fail, right? Because if we're thinking our acceptance by God is based upon Jesus plus our performance, then what happens when we fail? Big time discouragement, right? Big time sense of failure. Big time sense of, God, can you really still love me? We also can become really, really judgmental of other people when we forget grace. When we forget how much we've been forgiven, we become very ungracious toward people who are struggling. We can't figure out, well, why would they struggle with that? I don't struggle with that. We also can abuse grace if we don't remember that it cost Jesus his life to give us this. We can abuse grace. And yet, the Bible says that the grace of God trains us to live godly. So salvation is by grace alone. That's very clear from Scripture. It's the only way for us to be considered righteous in God's sight. The only way is to receive from God His righteousness as a gift to those who believe in Jesus Christ. And so my call to you to this morning is, look to Jesus. If it's the first time this morning that you're looking to Christ, receive the gift that God is offering to you. Or if you're already a believer, but you've forgotten about grace, look to Christ. Look to what He has done. And look to God as the one who has already accepted you, not because of who you are, not because of what you would ever do for Him, but because of who Jesus is and what He has already done. And so, Father, we pray, help us. We are so prone to wander, so prone to stray away from grace. Thank you so much, Lord, for reminding us not only that we are unrighteous, because we do see that, Lord. but that your righteousness is a gift to us to take care of the problem. And it's been totally taken care of by Jesus. And so help us, Lord, to look to Him. Always to look to Him. And to immerse ourselves in your grace.
Thank you for listening. When a beggar hears about a free meal, he should surely rejoice. When a blind woman learns how she can regain her sight, surely she would leap at the opportunity. How much more must we respond with joyful repentance when we hear how unrighteous sinners like us can be righteous before God? The free gift of righteousness is worth praising God about day after day. Join us again as we continue our series called Saving the Gospel. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. If you'd like to listen again, you can find the program on our website at delightintheword.org or where you listen to your podcasts. May the Lord bless you until next time as we together delight in the Word.